world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We thank you for allowing us to come into your home, your workplace, your automobile, by way of internet radio. And so we are so thankful to Almighty God to have this privilege of being able to speak life into your life with the word of God. Because the Bible tells us, Jesus says, my words, they are spirit and they are life. And that's why, you know, we want to put this Bible out. We got to put this Bible out. Jesus says man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Oh, we got a wonderful program plan for you today here in the Situation Room. Today is the day that we answer Bible questions and answers. And before we get started, let me just give out some contact information just in case you have a Bible question, or you have a marriage question, or just a question that's pertaining to the Christian life, or a hot topic that you want us to discuss here in the Situation Room. You can email them in here at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com, BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com, or you can call them in at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766, and we'll try to get that on for you, hopefully within the next broadcast, the next radio show. All right. Let me get my Bible. This morning I got two Bibles. I'm using the NIV as well as the King James Bible, because sometimes it makes it a little bit easier to read in our modern translation, particularly when you're reading some scriptures out of the Old Testament. But anyway, I'll let you know when I change over to the NIV. All right. First question. And boy, we got some doozies this morning. We got a couple of doozies. Is it biblical for preachers to live like millionaires and beg for money? Now, that seemed to be an oxymoron there, because if they're a millionaire, why are they begging for money like they're poor people? Something don't seem to be right there. Is a biblical Is it biblical for preachers to live like millionaires and beg for money? Wow. All right, let me see what I can do to answer this. Well, you really don't see gospel preachers in the New Testament living like millionaires. You don't really see that. You don't really see that. This is kind of, seeing preachers living like millionaires is kind of a modern phenomenon. This thing came about 50, 60 years ago when you had preachers like Reverend Ike and Big Daddy Grace, Sugar Daddy Grace, or whatever his name was up there. I believe he was out of Chicago, and Reverend Ike was out of New York City, you know, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So this is kind of a modern phenomenon. But you've always had, you know, greedy preachers, you know, all the way from, you know, the beginning of the Bible. I'm pretty sure back in Noah's day, you had greedy preachers. That's why, you know, they missed the boat, because they were greedy preachers. So, but let me try to answer your question. Most of the time, these millionaire preachers, they try to justify their millions of dollars by looking at Old Testament men and women of God. They'll tell you, you know, Joseph, you know, was second in command to Egypt, and, you know, he was rich. And they'll say, you know, Job, he was the richest man in the East. And then Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all of them had great possession. Think about King Solomon. He was rich. Esther was rich. And so, you know, they get all of these people, you know, back in the Old Testament days that was rich, and they compare themselves with them. But none of those men was like what I really call your modern day preachers. You know, they was not your gospel preacher. Solomon, you know, even though King Solomon called himself, you know, a preacher in the sense, you know, when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he was not a preacher in terms of position. He was a preacher in terms of he was writing a book, and so he was preaching through writing, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes. And so, but even though Solomon, after he had, you know, studied what can make a man happy, because God gave him the time and the talent, the ability to write that book of Ecclesiastes, and moved him through the power of the Holy Spirit to write that book of Ecclesiastes. And don't you remember what Solomon's conclusion was? He said, "Hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandment. This is the whole duty of man." In other words, Solomon, who had riches, possession, everything, he said, it's not about riches, it's not about possession, it's not about all of this bling bling that we think that's going to make a man happy. Solomon said, "You want to be happy? Hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandment. That's the whole duty of man, and that'll make you happy." See, holiness is the way to happiness. That's the way to happiness. If you're trying to be happy, you first need to be holy. See, most of these prosperity preachers, like I said, they compare themselves to, you know, the Joseph, the Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and, you know, King Solomon's and King David. But if you're going to compare yourself to somebody, you ought to compare yourself with Jesus. You know, compare yourself with, because Jesus was really our example. And Jesus says, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man, I don't have nowhere to lay my head." Now, so compare yourself with Jesus. You want to live, a lot of these preachers want to live greater, you know, than Jesus. Now, you know, if God done bless you, you know, that's good. But a millionaire preacher, something is wrong with that, and he's begging for money. That's something that he needs to sell. If he's a millionaire, he needs to sell some of his cars or sell some of his suits and stuff. and he can get some money. He wouldn't have to be if he'll sell some of that stuff. I just believe if you're going to make comparison, compare apples with apples and oranges with oranges. Don't compare yourself with King Solomon or King David preachers. Compare yourself with Peter. Compare yourself with James. Compare yourself with John. Compare yourself with Paul. Those are the preachers you ought to be comparing yourself with. And none of Jesus' disciples, not one of them, ended up a rich man. Matter of fact, some of them started out rich, but they ended up poor. Because don't you remember what Peter said? Peter said, "Lord, we done left all to follow you." James and John, their daddy had, you know, a big fishing business. He was a very prosperous man. But when they started following Jesus, a lot of times they didn't have no place to lay their head. And Peter even asked the question, "Lord, since we done left all and done followed you, what we gonna get?" And Jesus let him know, you know, that you're gonna get a great position in the kingdom. You're gonna be judging, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the last is gonna be first, and the first is gonna be last. Right now, y'all looked upon as being the last, as Paul talked about the scum of the earth, but later on, we'll be first in the kingdom. So that's what you have to look at. See, a lot of these modern day preachers are nothing more than peddlers. Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, let me show you a scripture out of the Bible that in Paul's day, people was in ministry for money. They was in ministry for money. And that's what you got today. A lot of the ministers are in it for the money. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 17. Paul says, "Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." Paul says, we are not like a peddler that's been sent from a store, but we are like true men of God that has been sent from God. A lot of these preachers are like peddlers that's trying to fill their own pockets, just trying to fill their own pocket. And you know, the Bible warns us against that, ladies and gentlemen. It warns us against watching out for these peddlers, these false prophets. Don't you remember over in 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, it talks about this, verses 14 through 17. It says, this is a description of a false prophet, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, curses children, are weak children. Even their children are cursed. Their children are just as greedy as they are, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophets. These are whales without water, clouds that are carried with temperance, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. notice what it says about these people. Man, they got adulterous eyes. I mean, they just as worldly want to be. They looking at the women's, they patting on the women's, feeling on the women's, laying down with the women's. They always, I mean, they can't cease from sin. They can't see, even if you do arrest them. There are some false prophets that got arrested back in the late 1980s. They went to jail, and I see them right back on television. They can't stop sinning with the same old practices. And they done forsaken the right way, and they gone the way of Balaam. Don't you remember the way of Balaam? Balaam, they told Balaam that they hired this preacher. King hired Balaam to come and put a curse on Israel. God told him not to go. But he kept asking, kept praying, and God said, okay, well, go ahead and go. But then God put the angel in front of him. He couldn't even see the angel, but the dumb donkey saw the angel, and the dumb donkey started talking to him. And so the dumb donkey could see what the prophet couldn't even see. Why is that? Because when you get into money, money blinds you. Money blinds you. Yes, it do. It blinds you. And so, and then the Bible talks about how there are wells without water, clouds that are carried with temperance, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. There are wells without water. They advertise, but they don't deliver. They empty. These are empty men. They got. You'll see a storm cloud come. Well, when you see a dark storm cloud, you think it's going to be some rain, but it's no rain. These men, they advertise, but they don't deliver. But the Bible says they're going to have a place reserved for them in darkness. You know what that place of darkness is? That's hell, because hell is a dark place. And that's what Jesus even talked about it. It was a cast them into out of darkness, for there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what's going to happen to a lot of these greedy preachers. They're going to end up in hell if they don't change. Well, that's kind of a hard word, but that's the reality. You know, when I began ministry 30 years ago, the old preachers that trained me told me, young fellas, don't try to live above the people or below the people, but live with the people. Don't try to live above the people, because if you live above the people, then you're going to get lifted up in pride. So don't live above the people. Then if you live below the people, way below the people, you're going to bring a shame onto your congregation. And say, live with your people. Live with your people. So if they driving Fords, that's what you drive. They driving Chevrolet. Live within your means. Live in your means. If your people are staying in just wooden houses, you stay in wooden houses. For whatever, however they live, that's how you live. And that way, you can always relate unto the people. You don't ever want to be way up so high that people can't see you. They can't touch you. A lot of these preachers can't even be touched today. They got bodyguards all between them and stuff like that. So live with your people. And if you live with your people, then your people will love you and they will bless you. And you'll be able to be a blessing unto them as well. All right. That was a mouthful, but I think it was needed. What does the Bible say about a woman wearing pants to church? What does the Bible say about a woman wearing pants to church? Wow. All right. The Bible has a lot to say now about women's dress. Whether she's at church or wherever she at, the Bible has a lot to say about women's dress. Now, this question seemed like it was taken from Deuteronomy 22 and 5. Deuteronomy 22 and 5, because that has been a very heated scripture. Deuteronomy 22 and 5 says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, this thing here, this word abomination, to me is going to be the key word to interpret this passage. Because God says, if a man put on woman's garment, let me read it again. It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. The last part of that verse is the key to me. The abomination. In other words, this is a not just a sin, but this is a gross sin. This is such a sin that it makes God sick. The word abomination means to puke or to throw up or to vomit out. And so whoever do this, a man putting on woman's garment and woman putting on man's garment, God said that makes me sick. Now, many old preachers would take that scripture and say the woman not supposed to wear pants. See there, that's what the Bible said. The Bible said woman not supposed to wear pants. And you got it right there in the scripture. But is that really what God is saying? See, like I said, that abomination. See, what God is speaking against, I believe, is one sex wearing the opposite sex clothes. See, there's a lot of women's pants and there's a lot of men's pants. And ladies should not be wearing men's pants, nor men's wearing women's pants, or cross-dressing. I think that's more or less what God is dealing with here. I think he's dealing more with cross-dressing. Because you got women's, there's some pants designed for women. So they are women's pants. They are pants designed strictly for men's. So they are men's pants. But God don't want women's wearing men's pants and when men's wearing women's pants. I think that's what he's really speaking against, because that makes God sick. And we can see that in our culture today. There are many men's that are dressing up like women's. And there are many women's that are dressing up just like a man. And so I think that's what makes God sick. Not necessarily God seeing a woman just wears some pants. I think a man wearing pants. I think that the thing that we're dealing with here is cross-dressing. See, what would send a person to hell is having the wrong attitude about dress. I don't think so much of, a woman wearing pants that's going to send you to hell. I think that a woman trying to act like a man, that's what's going to make God upset and going to send this woman to hell, because she's out of order and she have left her calling. God put on this earth to be a man. I put on earth to be a woman, and she's acting like a man. That's what make God sick. I'm getting all tongue-tied this morning. Y'all pray for me. There's a man. God done created this man to be a man, but this man is acting like he's a woman. Church women. Let me see. I'm running out of time this morning. Y'all gonna have to pray for me, because this is a lot. This is a lot. We may have to even pick up on some of this next week. This question here, because I'm not gonna be able to finish it all up today. But look at what the Bible says about a person's attitudes. Because see, I think what's going to send a person to hell is having the wrong attitude about dress. See, when you are trying to draw attention to yourself and taking the attention away from the Lord, then God is going to judge you for that. Notice this scripture here out of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 16. It says, the Lord says, the women's of Zion are haughty, they proud, walking along with outstretched necks. Now I'm reading this out the NIV Bible. Walking along with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, tripping along with mingling steps, with ornaments jingling on their ankles. Therefore, the Lord will bring sores on the heads of the women's of Zion. The Lord will make their scalps bald. In that day, the Lord will snatch away their fineries, the bangles, the headbands, the crescent necklace, the earrings, the bracelets, the veils, the headdress, and ankle chains and sashes, the perfume bottles and charm, the signet ring, nose ring, the fine robes, the capes, the cloaks, the purses, the mirrors, and the linen garment, and the shawls. Instead of fragrance, there would be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-dressed hair, baldness. Instead of fine clothing, sackcloth. Instead of beauty, branding. Your men will fall by the sword, your warriors in battle. He goes on and even start talking about the man there. But what I wanted you to see, ladies, is the thing that'll send you to hell is having the wrong attitude about your dress. Trying to decorate yourself up that in church, and you're going to try to draw attention from the Lord and draw attention to yourself. Then God is a jealous God, and God will bring judgment on you for doing something like that. So, but we're not going to be able to finish this question here today because I need to go over the New Testament and show you some scriptures out of the New Testament, what the Bible says, how church women ought to dress. Because, see, church women should not look like worldly women. You should be able to look at a person by how they dress and tell which way they're going, whether or not they are dressed to go to heaven or are they dressing up for the devil and going to hell. So, we're going to finish this up next time, because I want to make sure we got a clear understanding, because the Bible says, with all thy getting, get and understanding. All right, that's our program for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us this morning in the Situation Room. We hope something was said, something was done to help you and encourage you on your Christian journey. All right, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. That's a wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, and it'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast then. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker about us, because we're in your corner. Right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.